afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listening so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisper, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
Whoa, apparently on Zoom, now it tells you recording is in progress. Welcome, everyone. that threw me off. I am Trent, and I am speaking. Welcome back, as always, to another week of the Trent Speaks podcast. If you are still participating in what one of my friends has dubbed the Trent Speaks drinking game, that would be one of those things that I continue to say is welcome back to the Trent Speaks podcast. I was with some friends this weekend, namely Isaiah, who you just heard there in the intro. And Isaiah and I were trying to brainstorm some topics, some potential guests for the podcast. And Isaiah had said, why don't you do a podcast on board games? And I said, you know, like, I don't feel like I am well-versed enough to do a podcast on board games, but I know who is. So I sent a text. You've heard her before. You'll hear her again because she's back. Sam, welcome back into the Trent Speaks podcast.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited too because I texted you late last night and we were talking this morning. And here we are less than 24 hours later recording this podcast, which of course is mere minutes away from, mere hours away from being posted. So it is almost like we're doing this live, but
pretty close.
We're not. Yeah. I mean, we're doing it live. It just won't be live. Sam, what we just sat while I scrolled through all of my episodes. You can go back and listen to Sam on Samantha in Marquette. That was episode 35. So feel free to go back, listen to that conversation. But today I'm going to jump right in with Sam. And we're going to talk about board games. And namely, I wanted to pick Sam's brain because there are many questions that I have. But why don't we just start with why I had reached out to you? Because you are the first person I thought of because of your board gaming community. Talk to me about how you found this community. Feel free to give shout outs if you want. How did you find out about this, and have you always been into board games?
Yeah, so I really haven't always been into board games. It was kind of in college. We would play a little bit here and there. And then I don't know what happened, but I started finding more and more games that I loved. And I loved just sitting around with a roommate or a couple friends and talking and eating and snacking and playing games. And I slowly got hooked. And then in 2019, I was kind of having a rough time. And it just so happened that a teacher on Instagram, who was also a board gamer, and I started chatting. His name's Jeff, and he had just joined a podcast called The Gamecasters. So Jeff, Ryan, and Natalie run this awesome podcast. Highly recommend. Totally hilarious board game podcast. And rated R, to be honest, but they just started chatting with me online and we became friends. And as their podcast grew, the community grew. And one thing that they've done really well is develop a community. And so we were all initially chatting on Instagram and now it's kind of moved to Discord and we have all these channels. And I mean, it's gotten to the point where a bunch of us have hung out in real life. So kind of freaks everyone out that I hang out with people from the internet, but so far it's gone well.
I didn't actually know that. Uh-oh.
How long ago did we?
What? How long ago did we what? Oh, no.
How long ago did we freeze? You were just frozen.
Yeah, this is the joys of doing it over Zoom. Let me see if I can reroute my internet and turn off my video real quick. It's been a while since I did a cut in like this, but Sam and I tried to troubleshoot for a minute and give it another go. And this is why we don't do it live.
Yeah, really. It's kind of weird. My internet would be an issue. but sounds like you're also well-versed in the world of internet problems.
Oh, yeah. All right, I think we're good. If we break up again, we can always just switch to the phone.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool. Let's just see what happens.
Okay.
So you had been saying, because it broke up, but I had caught it, that you guys have started to really hang out. So are you all in the same central area, or is this a nationwide or worldwide community?
Oh yeah, this is international for sure. I'm actually playing games on people. One's, I don't know where he's at. He's definitely not in the United States. And then the other two, we're all spread out. But a lot of us are in Michigan.
Sorry, hold on. Let's just switch to the phone, because I don't know why it's still in and out.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Hello?
Oh, what a shit show.
That's all good.
You got AirPods or something you're going to pop in?
I can, but historically, people have said my audio is worse with AirPods, so it's up to you.
Oh, whatever works for you. I just don't want you to have to hold the phone for a lifetime.
Oh, no, I don't care. That's fine.
All right. So I'll ask this question again, because apparently Zoom didn't like it. So you had been saying, though, that it is an international thing, and that you've been playing games online with people from other countries. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah. Yep. So I've been playing online with people from all over the world, and then I've met up with the people from Michigan. And then there's actually an event that I could not attend called Nerdfest, that one of the podcast hosts, well, two of the podcast hosts were kind of throwing, and a bunch of people from around the country actually were able to make it to that. So yeah, it's a pretty big community.
So how do you, I know that you said you kind of just stumbled upon it in a way, back in 2019. How do you figure out, like, how do you go from, I like playing board games with people to, wow, I love like figuring out new board games and finding new board games. Like where did that love continue to grow and develop? What is it that continues to drive you? Because it's so easy to say like, yeah, I mean, I very casually like board games versus, wow, like I really want to be able to be invested in conversation and talk and connect with other people who are also interested in this community.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly happened. You know, I went from having a couple games in the coffee table to I own like probably 115 now, I think.
Oh my gosh.
And that's like small compared to a lot of the people in the community. Like that is nothing. Like they own hundreds and hundreds. And I think for a lot of people, it's just the joy of collecting, and like we like to have it all, and we like to have complete sets, you know. And you start to love different publishers, and you start to love different like mechanisms, and you value like the quality of a good board game and how it's made. And you just start to like, I don't know, like people just start talking about it. And I think as people are talking, like, I don't know that I would have initially cared about a certain board game designer or, you know, the quality of a component, but by talking to these different people, like the enthusiasm spreads and the love of it spreads, and it just feels so good to connect with people. And it's almost fun because we're kind of like speaking our own language. I'll say things that I think everyone knows what they are, like worker placement game or trick taking game. And people will look at me like that's something they've never heard. And I just kind of forget that it's like a whole world that I'm involved in that not everyone else is.
So of your 115 games, is there a particular type of game that makes up the majority of your collection, or have you been trying to diversify and so there are multiple types of board games within your collection?
Yeah, at first I really thought I liked something called abstract strategy, and I stuck mostly to that. I kind of liked basically puzzles and things that were easy to learn and teach but hard to master. But I have joined two board game groups, and you know, in meeting all these friends online, I found I actually enjoy many things. So now I'm finding I really like worker placement, and I'm adding a lot of those to my collection. And I even like, I don't know, like, I guess territory, like kind of area control games, which shocks me because I didn't imagine myself ever liking a game like that. So I'm trying to kind of diversify the collection, but the hard thing for me is like, I like what we call heavy games. I like these really big, you know, I don't know, kind of expensive and hard to learn games now, basically. But I keep investing in them, and a lot of my actual in real life friends don't enjoy them as much. So I'm trying to keep my collection down to things that I will realistically get played with the people I'm around, which is kind of a bummer sometimes, but it's still, I don't know, no matter what I'm playing, I'm always happy when I'm playing with other people.
Sam, can you, because even I'm hearing some of these terms and I'm like, what is she saying? Can you describe some of the different types of games, like some of those categories you were just talking about, like abstract and, they're already escaping my mind. And then can you give an example of like, here's a couple different types of games? Cause I'm thinking like, for example, this past weekend, I went to Wisconsin and visited some friends. And for example, we played Catan. We played Ticket to Ride. I've played Wingspan before with other friends. So I've played games, but I never knew they fell into a category. I'm like, hey, I'm just playing this board game. Can you give us some of those categories and maybe examples of a couple different games within those?
Yeah, so like you mentioned Wingspan, which is huge. And Wingspan is what we would call an engine builder because you kind of set it up. In the beginning, you don't have very much, but as you play the game, like you're making those rows of birds and you get more and more because the chain basically gets longer and longer. And so engine builders are always hard for me because I don't think long term and I can't figure out how things will work together. So those are kind of my weakness, but I do enjoy them. And then abstract strategy is a game that doesn't necessarily need a theme or a story. So it could be like abstract, or the most famous probably abstract strategy would be chess. I play something called Onitama. There's also Sagrada. So I think of those as being kind of like puzzles more than anything else. And sometimes they have pictures or a story, but they don't really rely on those things. I'm trying to think. Anything that deals with basically collecting cards in your hand and trying to figure out what to do with them, that would be like hand management. And a really popular one of those is Lost Ruins of Arnak. Yeah, there's a lot. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, worker placement is one of my favorites. So that's when there's like a set number of spaces on the board and you have a set number of basically workers or people that you can place. So if they go to a certain place, they get to do a certain thing. You reap the benefit of that. But you have pretty limited choices. And so a really popular worker placement game would be Viticulture or Everdell. And you might recognize Everdell because it has a big giant tree and a bunch of cute little animals. So yeah, those are a few different types.
So what is your favorite type? You said it's the worker replacement?
Yeah, I think that is my favorite lately. And I like that because sometimes I get pretty overwhelmed with games. But when you look at the board and you only have maybe six things you can do, and you have like three workers, you're like, okay, what can I do with these limited choices? And so I like that that kind of reduces a lot of the, I don't know, we call it like analysis paralysis, where you're just trying to like look at the whole board and calculate all these different options. It's like, well, I don't have very much I can do. I'll just try my best, you know?
And then is the abstract puzzle one, is that the one that you said that's thinking long-term, or that was something else?
The long-term would be engine building.
Oh, yeah. See, I, for example, I liked Wingspan. We played it one time with friends when they came to visit. But then I played Ticket to Ride with friends this weekend, and I don't know if that counts as engine building, but holy cow, I did not do very well at that because I was not thinking about some long-term effects in terms of getting points and everything. So I feel like that's a give and take for me.
Yeah, games like Ticket to Ride, where you can have negative points at the end, oof, those always get me.
Sam, so we talked before we started recording, and I had mentioned to you that I was familiar with that Discord a little bit. And for me, it gets confusing because there are so many channels in that Gamecasters Discord. Can you tell me how you, one, how you figured all of that out? And two, you had mentioned, you know, I stay connected with people online. How do you stay connected? Because like I said, coming in for me, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't understand what anyone is saying in any single channel. The only channel I knew what people were saying was the channel where they were asking you questions because you were Gamer of the Week or something. And that's why I had joined, so I could razz you and give you a hard time. But
yeah, and that was funny. Yeah, I kind of came, I think, into the board gamer community fairly early. And so I thankfully, like, you got dropped in when it was like a lot of things happening. And I've kind of been there to pick up like one piece at a time as it was slowly being added. So that helped because I kind of got to know people one at a time, as opposed to like being dumped on with all these people. And the Discord, thankfully Ryan, who's like kind of the mastermind behind the Gamecasters, he taught, you know, me how to use it, because sometimes we stream on Twitch together and we use Discord to help facilitate that. So he was able to teach me how to do all that. And yeah, it's kind of been shocking because basically Board Game Geek is this website where you can look up games and you can kind of learn the terminology and see how people rate various games and learn the rules. It's just like an insane place to be, but I kind of was self-taught, I think, in a lot of ways, through using Board Game Geek and then just listening to these podcasts and just over time meeting people. And I don't know, the nice thing about the board game community is that they're all super friendly. So when I've been like, hey, I want to play this game online, but I don't know how, well, you've got like six people like, I'll help you, I'll teach you, you know, and everyone's just super welcoming. So it's a really positive and kind community for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. And, you know, I was going to ask how you typically find out about new games. Is it from looking on that website, or is it from interacting with community, or a little bit of both? What have you found that has helped you be more, or most, I guess, discoverable?
I think Instagram, and it's kind of funny because sometimes I think about, you know, getting rid of all my social media and all I have left is Instagram, but then I'm like, no, how will I find out what games are out there? Because people will get early releases of games and post about them, and like review copies, or people will start, you know, kickstarting a game and start chatting about it. And so it's mostly through Instagram and people kind of chattering that way that I learn about things. Because yeah, I try to kind of stay out of like the what's coming up forums, because I just can't afford like all these new games, but they just pop up on Instagram and I get sucked in.
And we don't have to go down this route if you don't want to. But I figured I'd just ask. I know that you and I have before talked about mental health and anxiety specifically. Have you found that this has been a good distraction for you, or good for your mental health? Is that kind of what helps drive you as well, is knowing that this is keeping your mind occupied? This is something that you really enjoy doing?
Oh, for sure. Because like, A, you've got this awesome community. B, I'm not like a heavy drinker. Like, I don't like going to bars. I'm not like, I get kind of anxious around too many people. And so this is a really positive and like still social thing. But when you have a game almost as a buffer, it helps reduce a lot of that anxiety, because you're not just sitting there like, oh, I have to talk. Like, no, people are thinking, they're taking their turns. We can be talking about the game instead of like trying to find small talk. And so it's definitely good in that way. And it keeps me going. Like, I'm not a huge winter person. I live in the snow like 6 months out of the year. I just look forward to game night two or three nights a week. So it's a super positive thing. And I would encourage everyone to give it a shot for sure.
And something that I've been very open about on the podcast as well is I haven't really had any friends here in the Chicagoland area, but I have been video gaming with friends online. And I think it's perfect to chat with you right now in terms of the fact that you're talking about how you have this community who what would you say, 98% of is online. So it is possible to build those relationships. And you had mentioned at the very top that you guys have even hung out to play board games and everything. So I think that speaks volume too of, you know, I think a lot of times we think, all right, well, how am I going to meet people? And yes, it would be great to meet people or go do something in person, but almost it's like, don't forget about the little guy. Like, don't forget that there are ways to become engaged or to become a part of a community, even if that is virtual.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think especially pre-COVID, I wouldn't have found, like, I wouldn't have thought this was as legitimate maybe of a friendship, you know, like when you hear people talking online, I don't know, it always feels kind of catfishy or suspicious. But these are truly genuine friends. And it definitely is one of the more like valuable communities I've ever been a part of, whether it's online or in person. And so, I would definitely like encourage people to look online, look on Discord, look on forums, you know. And the interesting thing is my board game group in Marquette, they started like a meetup. Like they didn't know each other either. And they went to the ORDOC, they started playing games and it became a regular group. And eventually I ended up being added in. But I think it really shows that games can bring people together, which is pretty awesome.
It was almost like you were foreshadowing my next question because I was going to ask you about the impact of COVID. Do you think, because you had mentioned that you've kind of been there from the very beginning or the very early stages at the least, do you think that COVID helped propel the, well, do you think that the COVID, you know, shutting the world down and everything and people being stuck inside for the longest time, do you think that kind of propelled this board gaming community because you were already having some of those connection points and it was already a virtual type of thing?
Yeah, I do. I think it probably would have ended up here either way. But when everyone's stuck in their house or working from home or not working at all, it was very easy to say, hey, do you want to hop online and play a game? Or just sit on Instagram and chat for a long time. And so that definitely helped. And I know a lot of the people in our community are still working from home. And so they have a lot more flexibility. Like sometimes they will play games during the day and like online. And it's super nice just because like I can't do that, but it's just nice. Like people are always playing, people are always talking. Like there's always been this like nice stream of just conversation and basically ease. Like you can just hop in and out as whenever you have time, which makes it super easy.
Sam, what would you say to someone who maybe is looking to become involved in some sort of a community, whether that is board games or whether it's something else, maybe they're just looking for their niche. What would you say to that person who's listening?
I would say definitely don't be afraid to jump in because I think overwhelmingly people are going to be kind in these types of communities, especially if you're sharing something like a passion or something you have in common. And, you know, I've been really impressed by like the power of one-on-one communication. Like it's one thing to chat in the forums, but if you're comfortable and you want to chat directly about something with whoever, like I would encourage you to do so because I've developed a lot of very close friendships that way. And it can be super overwhelming at first, like you found in our Discord, but don't be afraid to ask people for help kind of getting into it because they want you to be there. Like they want to grow the community. They want to make more friends too. So definitely jump in and ask for help and don't be afraid to communicate with people.
Sam, anything I didn't ask about this board gaming community that you wanted to add, or do you feel like we've covered it all?
Well, I will say, if anyone is interested in wanting to chat more about board games or anything, or if you want to listen to the Gamecasters podcast or check out the Discord, just hit me up on Instagram, miss_FrenchToast, because I'd be happy to talk with anybody out there. Yeah, I don't know. I think definitely now is the time to get into your passions. I'm kind of surprised by where I ended up with board gaming, and I don't know if it'll be like a forever thing, but it's definitely improved my life, and I have so much fun with it, and I hope you guys can all find something that you enjoy as much as I like this.
Sam, thank you for the less than 24-hour notice guest interview. Go ahead and take us out.
Thank you for listening. This is Trent Speaks. I'm Sam. And that's Trent. And have a great day. That's good.